the called, the chosen, and the faithful. Those he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. Fulfilling destiny is not an event, it's a process. There's not a single human being who came by accident. Doesn't matter how you came to this world, your life is never an accident. It is according to design. God's call is always on point. He will let you know the kind of call he has called you, then he will open a door for you to enter. That's what he does. God has moments that he has stationed along the path of our lives. And at those moments, he will come to us with specific calls or callings, invitations to enter into different chapters of his plans and purpose for our lives. Father, we thank you for this morning. Thank you for this privilege you always give us to come and sit under your feet. We pray, oh God, that even as your word is coming with great power and might, you will help us to open our hearts to receive your word. Let your word find a place, do a work of grace within us and transform us into your image. We thank you, we bless you. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated. We thank God for this morning, and you are welcome to church today. Today is 28th January 2018, and today happens to be the last Sunday of January 2018. And we thank God for how far he has brought us. Amen. It has been by the grace of God. And we know that for the rest of the year, it's going to be by his grace. Let's continue to depend on the grace of God. Everything is by grace. Amen. Today, I'm going to talk about the called, the chosen, and the faithful. I think I started talking about destiny last 2 weeks. I started talking about wisdom on the path of destiny. Then last, I talked about the book of your destiny. The book of your destiny. That was last week. And today I'm talking about the called, the chosen, and the faithful. Last week we saw that there's a book containing our destiny. And we realized that there's a book containing destinies of nations, destinies of families, destinies of individuals, destinies of generations. And we saw also from Revelation 5 that there was a book that contained the destiny of mankind. And that book was sealed. That scroll was sealed. And it was Jesus who broke the seals and released the destiny of mankind. And he released seven things, namely power, riches, wisdom, strength, glory, blessing, honor. He released these seven things because he broke the seals that the book, you know, which contained our destiny. And we saw that there's a particular book that God has also prepared or written concerning individual destinies. And we saw from the Bible a number of things that God writes in the book. But there are two major divisions of the book. A part of the book is written by God and a part is written by you. You know, and the part that is written by God spells out God's plan and God's purpose for your life. That is destiny. Destiny is what God is destined you to be, what he has destined you to be, the plans he has for you. And we saw that God's destiny for everybody is good. It's good, it's acceptable, it's perfect. God doesn't have a single bad plan for any human being. So we don't have bad destiny and then good destiny. God's destiny is good. Destiny means the destination, the final outcome of your life. And God's plan for your life is always good. It's always good. Then we saw that destiny is a discovery, not a decision. In other words, God has decided what you must be. He has already decided what he wants you to be. Bible says he took counsel with himself. Before the ages, he took counsel. He advised himself. And that he decided on what he wants you to come on this earth for. You know, so when you come to this earth, Your part is to discover by the grace of God what God determined beforehand, before time, that you should come and do. And I gave an example of Jeremiah, where God said, before I formed you in your mother's womb, before you became a clot of blood in your mother's womb, I knew you. Before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you. I sanctified you as a prophet to the nations. And we realized that Jeremiah's destiny had already been planned up by God. His life had already been purposed, planned out by God. Now, it was his duty to conform to the plan of God for his life. So it is our duty to find, follow, and fulfill destiny. That is our duty. And God is going to help us. Hallelujah. Now, then we also saw from Romans 8:29 that the ultimate purpose of God for mankind is to conform to the image of his son. That all that God will do, all that he will do in your life, the end result is for you to conform to the image of his son. Whatever God did in creation, he was looking for the son. Everything that he did in creation, all creation was patterned after the son. Bible calls him the firstborn of creation, which means the first principle, the pattern of a creation. All things were created through him and for him, including us. So the outcomes of our lives, they must conform to the pattern of the son. That is God's ultimate purpose for everybody. God has higher purposes and lesser purposes for everybody. God's ultimate highest purpose is for you to be conformed to the image of his son. So as you go along, you see, then we realize that in our book, you know, when you read Romans 8:29-30, he said that those he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. And he said, those that he predestined, he also called. He called. Then those that he called, he justified. And then he glorified. Now let's read Revelation 17 verse 14. That's where I picked the topic from. Revelation 17 verse 14. Now he was talking about Jesus and the people who were with him, the believers. It says, these will make war with the Lamb. Talking about the kingdoms that will come, the Antichrist, the beast, and all that. This will make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them. For he is Lord of lords and King of kings. And those who are with him are called, chosen, and faithful. Those who are with him are called, chosen, and faithful. Now, these three things, called, chosen, and faithful, they represent three cycles of our Christian lives. Three cycles of our Christian life. That at every stage of our, at major points of our lives, our Christian lives, we will have to respond to the call, a particular call, then we'll have to be chosen. When we persist and stay in the call, then we are found faithful. So when you respond to the call, you are chosen. That's why I said many are called, but few are chosen. And we have several callings that we'll respond to before we leave this earth, or till we grow into the image, till we conform to the image of his son. God is going to give us several calls. So our destiny is made up of series of calls. He will come to you, calling you onto one chapter of your life. Then when you respond to the call, you are chosen, they become faithful. Then he comes again to call you to another chapter of your life. And that's how life is. That's how our destiny plays out. That's how they unfold in accordance with God's word, God's purpose. So fulfilling destiny is not an event. It's a process. It's a process. Fulfilling destiny is a process, not an event. It's a process because it's a series of calls. Series of calls. After God has packaged us, you know, last week I said that God packaged us in a way that seemed right to him. He ordained our bents. He put in us our giftings, our inclinations. He put in us. He packaged us in a certain way. And after he had packaged us, he chose the generation that will be needed in. Then when that generation came, he released us into that generation. So there's not a single human being who came by accident. Doesn't matter how you came to this world, your life is never an accident. It is according to design. There's nothing like accidents in the purpose of God. That's why he said, all things work together for those who love God, to those who are the called according to purpose. They're called. They have been called according to purpose. God is not somebody who is frivolous or senile, that he will call you and then when you come, he will say, oh, I've forgotten why I called you. No. God's call is always on point. He will let you know the kind of call he has called you, then he will open a door for you to enter. That's what he does. So the series of calls I'm talking about simply are series of opportunities, doors and windows that God will give you. Let's read Romans 8:29. You know, we read it last week, but I want us to read it so that we'll get it in perspective. Romans 8:29. Okay. It says, are you there? Okay. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. But verse 28 says, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to purpose. The called. They are the called according to purpose. So God, you know, like God has moments that he has stationed along the path of our lives. And at those moments, he will come to us with specific calls or callings, invitations to enter into different chapters of his plans and purpose for our lives. Some of those calls, they come, you know, through opportunities. Some of them, they come through God declaring to you, telling you. Some of them, they come through God directing your path, placing you in different places, you know, connecting you to different people and linking you to different events and circumstances, using different means to open the door for you to enter. You remember in the book of Ezekiel 47, the vision he had of a man who was measuring. The man who measured 1,000 cubits, then he will say, cross the river. You know, he will measure 1,000 cubits, then Ezekiel will attempt to walk through. And when he measured the first 1,000, the river was at the ankle level. Then the man measured another 1,000, and it came to the knee level. Then another 1,000 came to the waist level. Then the last one, it was a river that he had to swim, because it was over and above him. That is a picture of God's purpose, the series of calls. So the calling is not just one. After responding to the calling of God for salvation, God will come to you again and again, giving you several opportunities and doors for you to enter into other aspects of his plans and purpose for your life. And those moments, we call them Kairos moments. Kairos moments are God's own moments that he has ordained, that certain things should come into your life, certain people should come into your life, certain doors should open in your life for certain strategic divine appointments. These are Kairos moments. They are ordained by God along your timeline, which is also called the Chronos. Your timeline is a Chronos, you know, and God's timeline is a Kairos. So along your Chronos, God has positioned several doors, certain doors that you must turn into for you to break into other aspects of his plan for your life. So like I said last week, you and I know that there was a time where certain people were not in your life, but now they are in your life. It's all God's arrangement. I'm talking about spiritual things. I'm not talking about maybe casual friends you make. I'm talking about certain people who must play a spiritual role in your life. They have been positioned along your Chronos. But the time that God has ordained that you meet them, that is a Kairos moment. Hello. And once you encounter, you respond to the call, and you are growing in the Lord, you are going to encounter these doors. I remember in the year 2012, I think it was 21st September 2011, I had a dream that somebody opened a door, and the person said, "Now let's enter the prophetic." He opened the door. I was just pulling. He opened a door. I said, "Now let's enter the prophetic," which means that it was a door that God was the one who opened that door. I said, "Now I want you to enter this other side of my plan and purpose for your life." That's a picture. Amen. Okay. Now, there are three major types of call that you will encounter. That will come your way. Jesus Christ gave three major invitations when he came to this earth. And all those invitations or callings were unto him. The first one is Matthew 11, 28. He said, "Come unto me." That's the first call. After God has packaged you, God has packaged you for a particular generation, God will release you into that generation. Then God will come and call you. That's the first call that he will give you. "Come unto me." That is a call unto salvation. That if you don't answer that call, you have not begun living out your destiny. Destiny begins with Christ. Fulfilling destiny begins with Christ. Knowing purpose begins with Christ. Because everything was patterned after the Son. He's the reason for everything. So Paul said, "For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain." You begin living, or you start living, when you encounter Christ. That's when God's plan for your life is kicked into motion. So the first call was, "Come unto me." Then the second one, Jesus said in John 15:5, "Abide in me." The second call, "Abide in me." You know, all these callings, they are unto him. "Come unto me and abide in me." John 15:5. Then the third call that Jesus threw, the invitation that he threw to people or to us, or he said, "Follow me. Follow me." John 1, 21, 18 to 19. He told Peter, "If I want John to live forever till I come, what is that to you? Follow me." But in Matthew 16, 24, he said, "If anyone wants to come after me, follow me. If you want to follow me, take up your cross and follow me. Deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me." That was an invitation. So these three calls are major calls in our life. And they are all related. You come to abide and to follow. So destiny comes. And that first call, "Come unto me," that call is by grace. It's by grace. If God has called you unto salvation, then you know that he foreknew you and he predestined you to be called. He chose you in eternity. He elected you. Bible calls believers the elect according to God's foreknowledge. Not everybody will receive that call. There are some people who are in the world now, who are in the nightclubs, who are in the brothels, who are in weird places now, but their names are in the book of life, like I said last week from Revelation 17, that people's names were written from the foundation of the world. God is going to give the call to them, and they are going to respond to the call. So God wrote their names to prove that God is all-knowing and that it is not according to works, but according to grace. God wrote some people's names in the book of life before they were even born. Hello? So for you to know and respond to the call of salvation, you must know that you have been elected. Divine selection. You must know that God has predestined you. There's a plan for your life. And that should make you happy. Paul said, "By the mercies of God, he called me by his mercy, by grace." That call is always by grace. Come to 2 Timothy 1, verse 9 to 10. 2 Timothy 1, verse 9 to 10. "There's nothing you did to be called." Nothing. Absolutely nothing. He called you just by grace. And when he called you, you responded by faith. So you have been saved by grace through faith. So 1 Timothy 1, verse 9 to 10. Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose, you see, and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. When was the grace given to us? Before time began. In other words, before this world was created. In other words, beforehand, in eternity, he gave us that grace, that grace, that grace which was given to us in Christ Jesus. That he called us according to his own purpose and grace, which grace was given to us even before time began. So before you were born, God knew you. God had chosen you. Come to Ephesians 1, verse 4. People sometimes don't understand, and they think God is partial. If God has chosen you, keep quiet and be thankful. Don't question God. Why did God not choose this person? No, he has chosen you. That's all. Yeah, that's what matters. He has chosen you. So what's your problem? Ephesians 1 verse 4. Okay, 1 verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. Wow. Saying that it is according to the good pleasure of his will. It's by the will of God. Paul will say, Paul, an apostle by the will of God. It was God who decided to have us. He appointed us to be his very own. He said, for by your pleasure all things were created. So God chose us even before we were born. When you were born, you didn't know whether you were a boy or a girl, did you? Did you know? Did your parents know? Oh, did your parents know that you were a boy or a girl? Did they know? So you didn't become a boy or a girl the day you discovered it. Are you getting me? You didn't become a boy or a girl the day you saw that you were a boy or a girl. No. It was just a discovery you made. Your parents knew all along. They knew all along. God knew us all along. We existed. God didn't choose you when you became born again. He chose you before the world began. He decided that I will have this person. And this person, I will design this person to fulfill this particular purpose. He wrote all of that in your book. Then when the time came, he called you. That's why you responded to the call. Jesus Christ said, nobody can come to me unless the Father draws him. It is a miracle to be saved. It's not by chance. It's not just, don't take it for granted. It's a miracle. The fact that you responded to the call means that you have been predestined. You have been chosen by him. You have been chosen by him. In Revelation 17, 8, he said that some people's names were written in the book of life before the foundation of the world. Before the foundation of the world. Now, it was by grace that we were selected and predestined and packaged and released onto this earth. Now, 1 Peter 1, 2. Let's look at 1 Peter 1, 2. The called, the chosen, and the faithful. 1 Peter 1, 2. Elect. Okay, start from verse 1 so that we get it in context. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the pilgrims of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father in sanctification of the Spirit for obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace be multiplied. Elect according to the foreknowledge. So God saw you beforehand and elected you, chose you. Come to Ephesians 2:8. Ephesians 2:8. So it was not because you were good, not by works. It was purely by grace that he chose us. He has chosen us by grace. For by grace you have been saved through faith. and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. You don't work for a gift. Okay, continue. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. So you cannot boast. You cannot say that God had to choose me because I'm good, because he needed me. No, he chose you because he chose you. Continue. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. I want to explain something. He said, God created us for good works, which he prepared when? Beforehand. Beforehand means before time. Before time. You see, God, let's say you use your hand to create. So before creation, beforehand, before he used his hand to create, he created us in Christ for good works. So the thing, what God has asked, God has called you to do, it has already been prepared. The good works have already been prepared. You are not the one. That's why Bible says the works were finished from the foundation of the world. Everything about your life has been prepared, packaged by God. If you follow God's plan, if you stay in Christ and you grow, you will automatically fulfill purpose. Because God has designed you to go a certain way. And once you're on the path, you will not miss your way. Hello? I said, if you follow the path of God, you are going to automatically fulfill purpose. Because the good works were ordained beforehand that you should walk in them. Ordained. So he's the author and the finisher of our faith. We are not going to do anything. We are just going to walk in places that he has prepared. Just doing the thing that he has already done. Just finished. He has finished everything. He's the author and finisher of our faith. You see, but he gives you faith. Then he puts you on a path so that practically you will begin to live out what he has already finished about your life. The works were finished. That's why when you embrace Christ and you encounter him, he says, I will give you rest. He said, take my yoke upon you, for my burden is light and my yoke is easy. Because he has finished the work already. Your duty is only to follow along. Follow along. As you follow him, you will automatically fulfill purpose. All the things that you must do for God, they have been written in your book. All the people who must come to know Jesus through you, they have been written in your book. All the miracles that God will use you to do is written in your book. Everything is done already. All the revelations you will receive, written in your book. God knows that at this point of your life, and you see, when I say God's purpose, listen, God's, there are two forms. We have higher purposes and lesser purposes. God's higher purposes has nothing to do with spiritual stuff. How you conform to the image of Christ. Not the kind of husband you will marry. That's a lesser purpose. Not the kind of job you must do. That's a lesser purpose. God also is interested in that. But what is more important is the higher purpose of God, to be conformed to the image of Christ. So sometimes God uses his lesser purposes to conform us to the higher purposes. And then the lesser purposes, they are also planted alongside with the higher purposes. So for as long as you are in Christ and you are on your way to be conformed to his image, you are not going to also miss God's lesser purpose for your life. Because it's all good. And God wants you to enjoy life also on this earth. Whilst you are being conformed to Christ, he also wants to meet your desire. There are certain things that he has also positioned along your path. Like I said at that time, I said that when you look at Abraham's life, Bible says, Genesis 24, and God had blessed Abraham in all things, and he was rich in gold and all that. David's life, Bible says, and David died in a good old age, full of many days and riches and honor. Now, that was not God's purpose for David. Those were blessings he picked along the path of his destiny. But God's purpose for David was to use David to prepare a throne for the Messiah. For the Messiah came to sit on David's throne. But on the way to fulfilling purpose, David picked riches and honor and long life. Those were bonus. Bible says, and after David had served his generation, according to the will of God, he died. And that will be our story. We will serve our generation according to God's will before we die. Amen. Amen. Do you believe that?
Yes.
So God molds you, packages you with the gift you will need, programs you with his grace, and charts a path that you must walk on. Then you come to this earth. So the first call, receive Christ. When you receive Christ, that's when your destiny will start unfolding. God's plan for your life is linked to that high purpose. A lot of times people say that, I want to know my purpose. I want to know what I was born to do. I want to know what job. You see, once you locate God's higher purpose, the lesser ones, they will just fall in place. They will just fall in line. Locate what God has called you to do. Locate what God has made, what has made you to be, to conform to the image, and stay on the path. It's very easy. When Adam, God created Adam, and he formed Adam, you know what God did? God just put Adam in Eden, in his presence. And after he put Adam in his presence, guess what? Everything came by its own, on its own. Everything came. He put Adam in Eden. That was God's highest purpose, for Adam to be in the presence of God and for Adam to exercise dominion. When Adam did that, as Adam was going, minding his business, God brought Eve. Said, go and help him. Why? Eve had been stationed along the path of his life. And for as long as he was on the path, he was destined to meet Eve. It was not Adam who even prayed for a wife. It was part of God's package for him. And God had prepared Eve for Adam. So when God puts you on his path, there's no anxiety. Now, so he calls us by grace, and then we'll finish in glory. So the called must be the chosen and the faithful. The second invitation or calling is abide in me. So when you respond to the first invitation, immediately he puts you on a path that will help you to assess the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. It's a journey. The good, acceptable, and the perfect will of God. So when you respond to the invitation, God puts you on a path. And the path is a journey. Jesus Christ said, I am the way. The way indicates a journey. I am the journey to the Father. I am the way, the truth, and the life. It's a journey. Christianity is a journey. Your destiny is a journey. It's always from the outer court, holy place, holy of holies. It's a journey. Come to Mark 4:28. I want to give you a picture of the journey. In Mark 4:28. Just a picture. Okay. For the earth yields crops by itself. First the blade, then the head. After that, the full grain in the head. That is a picture of destiny. First the blade, then the head. After that, the full grain in the head. That's how the earth yields crops. So we can say outer court. We can say holy place. We can say holy of holies. We can say the called, the chosen, and the faithful. That is how God, when he calls us, when he puts us on his path, that's how we progress. We move from level to level. Said, from glory to glory, grace to grace, faith to faith, strength to strength. That's how God calls us. Now, when you respond to the call, the first call, you see, God gave you grace before you were born, right? You know, he called you by grace, which was given to you before you were born. But when you respond to the first call, What the gift that God gives you is faith. You see, for you have been saved by grace through faith. By grace through faith. That faith to respond to the call, that faith is a gift. He gave it to you, it was a gift. There are some of you, the way you became born again, it marvels you sometimes. You don't remember what the person actually told you. All you realize, all you knew was that you were receiving Jesus. There are some people, you can understand. Sometimes the way people respond to the gospel, you know that it's not what you said. You know that their time is up. God was calling them. And according to God's time, that was the time for them to respond to the call because they are the called according to purpose. So that faith that you had to receive Jesus, that faith itself was a gift. And God gives everybody that gift of faith when you respond to the call. Now, that faith is what is going to grow and help you to conform to the image of Christ. Come to Romans 12 verse 3. I want to show you something. Romans 12 verse 3. Okay. It says, "For I say through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith." Each one. Everybody was given that gift of faith. So, for by grace you have been saved through faith. Grace was what was given to you, was what chose you, selected you. Then faith was your response to the grace. When God gave you the first call, you responded by faith. But that faith was a gift. Because you have been predestined and elected according to the foreknowledge of God, he also gave you faith to respond to the call. That's why you did not reject the gospel. You responded to the gospel. That's why when God spoke, you responded. It wasn't because you were naturally good. No, it was because you had been chosen. You had been elected by grace. This faith must grow. Come to 2 Peter 1. I'm talking about abide. That is the second call. If you want to know God's plan for your life, stay in Christ and start growing. You will fulfill destiny. You will meet the right people at the right time. You will bump into the right events at the right time. Because you are on the path of destiny. Let me touch on 2 Peter 1, verse 5. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith. The faith is the seed, the gift that was given to you, you know. But it says, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love, which is agape, charity. Now, so the journey started with faith and ended with what? Love. Now, that is God's plan. God, continue. That is God's plan for your life. That is God's destiny for your life when you respond to the call. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Continue. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. He said, be diligent to make your call and election sure. You have already been elected and called. He said, make it sure. Abide in him. Don't fall aside. Continue in him. You know, and when you do that, when you make your election, your call and election sure, then he says that, an entrance will be supplied abundantly to you into the kingdom. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So this journey of abiding is to build character, for you to be conformed to the image. Everybody was designed to be like Jesus. The reason why God created this universe was because he was looking for the Son. The Son so much pleased him that in anything that God did, he was looking for traits of his Son. So he calls you to be conformed to the image. So character is more important to God than career. Career is a lesser purpose. Character is a higher purpose. So God can mess up your career to fix your character. If that's his only option, he doesn't mind messing up your career just to fix your character. That's why sometimes the things we go through, even in our daily lives, they have been designed to conform us to the image, to add to the faith that he has given us, for the faith to grow to become love, agape. This love is a fruit, it's a process where your faith now becomes love, where you get to a point where you are now living for him. You are now like Christ. Christ is the essence and the embodiment of love. So, but the faith he gives you, the end results, the dealings God takes you through, and all the training, discipling, the tutorials, everything that God is giving you, the end point is for you to get to the place of love. The place of agape. Reduce me to love. Somebody's book. Reduce me to love. It is just the essence of living. That's God's agenda for your life. When you get to that point, you are like Christ. You have conformed to the image of his Son. And to get to that point, God can use anything. Anything. If you read the Bible, you see that faith cannot stand alone. Faith doesn't stand alone. Faith is weak when it's alone. James 2:17. Faith being alone is dead. So in the Bible, faith always goes with somebody else. Sometimes you see faith and power. Acts 7:8. Then you see faith and patience. Hebrews 6:12. You see faith and hope. Hebrews 11:1. Faith and trials. James 1:3. He said, for the trial of your faith produces patience. These things, they matter to God. They matter to God. So growth in the Lord is a sure way to fulfill destiny. God's plan for your life. No, destiny is not the buildings you must build. Destiny is not how you must use your talents to make money for yourself. All those are lesser purposes of God. Because God has also planted gifts and talents in you. And those ones were designed to help you to live on this earth. Number one, to solve problems. Number two, to serve people. Number three, to take care of yourself. These are the reasons for God giving us talents and gifts. So you have been designed to solve a particular problem, to serve a specific group of people, and then to take care of yourself with your gift. But if you don't encounter Christ, you will have the gift all right, but you will not be able to fulfill destiny. So the fact that somebody is using his talent to make money and the person doesn't know Christ, you should not say the person has fulfilled destiny. He has not fulfilled destiny. Because these are lesser purposes. If you don't know Christ and you are a Michael Jackson and you have a talent and you don't know Christ and you have money in abundance and all that, you are popular and you have fame and people like you all over the world, it does not mean you have fulfilled destiny. So destiny, fulfilling destiny, is not to be famous or to be well known or to have money. Those things, they are lesser purposes of God. When you embrace the higher purposes, you will see that the lesser purposes too, they are being fulfilled. Hallelujah. So all the things we go through in our lives, once you embrace the call, you will be going through certain things. And all those things, they have been designed to get you to a place where you conform to the image of Christ. Because the faith must be tried. The faith must be tested. The faith must be processed so that the faith will come out refined. Peter said that your faith, being much more precious than gold, when it's passed through fire, comes out more refined. The reason for testings and trials of the Christian is so that we can be conformed to the image. That's why sometimes things happen to us. Bible says the good and the bad and the ugly, they have all been designed by God to conform us to the image of Christ. Hallelujah. There are three things that, you know, when you receive the faith, you need to grow the faith. I preached a message on the anatomy of mature faith. If you listen to it, you understand all these things. The anatomy of mature faith. So these three things, rain, heat, and light, these are the things that when a seed is planted, it needs rain, it needs heat, it needs light for before the seed can germinate. And this seed of faith, you need these three things. The rain stands for the word. The light stands for revelation, understanding, rhema. Then heat stands for circumstances. These are the three things God is going to use to conform you to the image of Christ and for your faith to be developed. These three things. So the word comes, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the rhema. The word comes, the logos comes, the preaching comes. You read the Bible, you listen to preaching, you take part in Bible studies, you go through Christian disciplines. All these things, they are just so. The target is the faith. You see, God gave you the faith. God targets the faith so that the faith will come to maturity. The devil too targets the faith so that the faith will fail. He says, Simon, the devil has desired to have you, to sift you like wheat. But I've prayed for you that your faith fails not. When you are converted, help your brothers, strengthen your brothers. Satan is after your faith. He said that contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saint. Satan is after the faith, the seed. When the seed is sown and there's no understanding, the best of the air, they come and take the seed away, steal it from your heart. So Satan is after the faith so that you will not grow to maturity. You will not be conformed to the image because that is your destiny. But God is after the faith so that he will help you. So if you follow God's path, God is going to help you with these three things. The rhema comes by the inward speaking of the Holy Spirit. I will take time and talk about rhema because that is what we need. It is rhema that brings you growth. Look, the word of God has two forms, logos. Logos is the written, the word that has been written that we also speak. Rhema is the word that the Holy Spirit quickens. That is what changes you. That is what that helps you to conform to the image, is the rhema. Sometimes the rhema comes when you have fellowship with God because he has called you to fellowship. He has called you to abide. So as you begin your journey with Christ and then he speaks to you, sometimes he whispers into your spirit. He gives you illumination, understanding. Sometimes after the message has been preached, the best message is preached when we are not here, when you are alone with God. Then you see God speaking into your heart. You may not even hear that God has spoken to you, but he has released something into your spirit. Because it's rhema. And you will see that as you go through life, you will come into contact with certain things. And then circumstances. All the circumstances that have been designed to help us to conform to the image of Christ. In fact, the things you go through, difficulties in life, difficult people that you encounter, challenges that you face, even the things that Satan attempts to bring to you, God uses those things to train you. There are some people, they got to know how to pray when the devil started coming after them. That was when they learned to stand on their feet to pray, and they prevailed. But if they had not encountered that problem, they wouldn't have stood on their feet to pray. But when the problem came, it came as a problem, as the devil trying to attack them. But then they got to know their authority in Christ, and they stood firm and overcame the devil. And by so doing, their muscles expanded, grew. You know, when the people of Israel go to the promised land, God didn't drive out all the enemies. In Judges, God said the reason was for his people to learn warfare. So he didn't drive the enemies away, all of them. He left some so that the people will learn warfare. So some of the things we go through, they are supposed to bet certain things in us. There are people who are looking for one thing or the other, and they are always going for prayer meetings and prayer meetings. They are always seeking the face of God. Listen, what will happen is that at the end of the day, God is going to answer them. But by the time God answers them, God would have achieved a certain level of faith in them, certain measure of character in them. God would have refined their faith one more time. He would have grown their love by some inches. So some people are in search of things, and then they discover ministry. I know somebody who was looking for a baby, and she ended up discovering her ministry. That was what she thought she wanted. And she was praying and going for prayer meetings and all that. God answered her prayer, but before the answer came, she discovered ministry out of that. So the problem that she was going through, was it a blessing or a curse? There are some people, if they don't suffer breakdown in their business, they don't have time for God. So all these things, you see, it's not God who brings them. There are certain things that Satan brings them. But even the thing that Satan plans against you, like I said last week, God has worked them into his plan. The devil cannot kill you. He can't kill you. He can bring a lot of things against you. But at the end of the day, they will bring out the spirit of might in you. You will develop stronger muscles. And you can stand. It will add to your stature in Christ. As you stand up against them and you will start fighting, you will see that you are developing confidence and authority. Persecutions. They are all part of things that have been designed to conform us to the image of Christ. Persecution. Bible says all those who live godly in Christ will suffer persecution. So when you embrace the call, you go through persecution. Because see, the faith that God gives you, that faith must be shaken to shake off all pretenses for the genuine faith to remain. That's why sometimes our foundations are shaking. God is not going to use, let's say, sickness to say, I'm going to train you with sickness. No. Jesus took away sickness. Whatever Jesus took away, God will not use to train you. Hello? But I'm talking about things we encounter in life. The very things that we go through in life, they are normal. Everybody goes through them. Disappointments, delays, persecutions, you know, misunderstanding, misrepresentation. Some people go through rejection. Even some people, when they respond to the call, they are rejected by families. And you would think that they will die or it will crush them. But they come out of it stronger. And by the time they come out, they have been conformed more to the image. Even though it was rejection they suffered, a time will come, you are going to thank God for being rejected. Hello? Now you are going through rejection and you are crying. But a time will come, you are going to look back and say, oh, thank God I was rejected. I was listening to one man of God who said that when he started ministry in Ghana here, all the known men of God rejected him. He would go to this one will say, God has not called you. This one will say, you can't be a pastor. This one will say, I don't sow among thorns. I won't come and preach for you. So he said that he was totally rejected. And he decided to go before God. And it is that drove him to the secret place. And he took delight in spending time with God because he couldn't spend time with people. Today, in human standards, he has one of the most flourishing ministries in this nation and even beyond. So now he looks back and then he thanks God for the rejection. Somebody said, I thank God for the mountaintop experience, but I thank God for the valleys too. Jesus Christ saw Judas coming to betray him, and because he had the mind of God, he said, friend. He called him friend. He said, friend, do you betray me with a kiss? He didn't say enemy. Peter and co. saw Judas as an enemy. He said, Master, should we cut their ears? And Peter caught somebody's ear because he thought that they were going to crush him. Jesus said, no, you don't understand. These are friends. I mean, he's a friend. He's betraying me, but he's a friend. Thank God that your uncle rejected you. Thank God. Thank God that your father said he will not take care of you. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God that human beings rejected you and looked down upon you. Thank God. Thank God. Now, it's not a pleasant thing, but he says all things work together for the good of those who love God, who are the called. Once you have responded to the call, everything that comes your way, it comes to bless you. Even if Satan is bringing it, God will turn it for your good. Joseph was sold by his brethren to Egypt. And for a time, I believe Joseph would have been bitter against his brothers for selling him. But after 13 years, when he ascended the throne, and 7 years later, 20 years, when the brothers came to Egypt, they said, we are sorry. He said, no, don't be sorry. Why are you sorry? He said, God sent me in Egypt. The brothers must have been confused. Were we not the ones who sold him to Egypt? But now he's saying, God sent me to Egypt. Sometimes you can be betrayed. Some betrayals are God sending you. Some rejections are God sending you. God will make sure doors are closed so that you don't have anywhere to go. Turn to him, that he will make a way. Then he alone will take the credit and the glory. Hallelujah. Do you know when we say all things work together for good? It's like this. When you want to bake cake, you have various ingredients that you bring together. You have the flour. You have what? Oil. Margarine. Okay, yes. What else? Margarine, flour, egg, baking powder, flavor, sugar. Look at the things we eat into our bodies. Now, these ingredients, if I give you flour to eat, can you eat it? What about flavor? Are you going to drink it? If I give you egg, maybe egg you can try. But not all people can take it. But when you put all these things together, you mix them, then you put it in the oven for heat to be applied. When they come out, you say, happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. And then you cut it and eat it, and you are happy. But the individual ingredients, you could not take them. So certain happiness in your life, they are unpleasant. They leave a sour taste in your mouth. But when you put all together, all things will work together for your good because you are the called according to purpose. That's why, you know, what the believer, be careful what you do to a believer. Be very careful what you do to the called according to purpose. Though a believer may fall 7 times, he will rise. You can bury a believer, he will grow. Somebody, I saw, he said, they thought they were burying us. They didn't know we were seeds. The devil will think of burying the believer. So he will put you down. He doesn't know you were a seed. You grow. So all these things are supposed to establish, strengthen, and perfect us. It depends on how you see it. Sometimes you see them as crisis. You see them as things that have been designed to kill you. But God is there. And God is adding all of them together. That He's making something beautiful. Yours is to keep on. Stay on the path. One day you are going to thank God for your enemies. Don't kill them. One day you will say, thank God for the one who pushed me. Thank God. Say, I thank God you rejected me. That's how now God has lifted me. In the Bible, all those who were despised, God came to their aid. God was always on the side of the downtrodden. Hannah couldn't bear children. Peninnah bore children, but Elkanah hated Peninnah, and he loved Hannah. So God made sure Peninnah bore children. Hannah didn't bear children. Anyway, it was because of Samuel. Whenever God wants to start something new, He shuts the womb of a generation, of a woman. When He wants to give birth to generation like Samson, Samuel, John the Baptist, you know, these people were special people. Before they came, God had to shut the wombs of people, you know, like Isaac and co. Even Jacob. That's what God did. Leah was hated by Jacob, and he loved Rachel. But God opened Leah's womb, and she was just producing. And Rachel could not produce. You know, I'm not. This one a doctrine. I'm not saying God hates. I'm just using that example. That God is always on the side of the downtrodden. When you are rejected, God is with you. Okay, then the last one is follow me. Follow me. That's the third one. Follow me. This is a call to ministry. Ministry is more important than marriage. Because marriage is a lesser purpose. Ministry is a higher purpose. You will not take marriage to eternity. When we stand before God, it's not going to say, who was your husband, who was your wife? No, your wife and your husband, you're all going to be brothers and sisters. They're just walking about cool like that, brothers and sisters. You know, nothing between you, just brothers and sisters. That's why even when you marry and you become very old, you become brothers and sisters. Just brothers and sisters. When you are very old, very, very old. I'm talking about very, very old. Like you'll be married for 50 years. I mean, you become a brother and a sister. Just cool in the house. No problem. So, the larger purpose, ministry is higher than marriage. Yes. So sometimes, some people, marriage, they go through marriage, and because of the ministry, because of their ministry, sometimes God uses the marriage to shape them for the ministry. If you are very proud and you cannot calm down, you cannot, let's say God has called you to pastor, you cannot calm down to serve people, usually, when you marry, in most cases, you will meet somebody who is just one sheep, one disciple, and the way the person will stretch you, you will learn humility. You will, because God's higher purpose is ministry, what He has called you to do. And He can use anything to shape you to attain that thing that He wants. It's a larger purpose than marriage. So the smaller purposes are usually placed along the larger purposes. So find the larger ones. Be more concerned about what will you have me do than who should I marry? Hello? I said, be more concerned about, Lord, what will that have me do than show me the one I should marry? I mean, I'm saying that God's larger purpose, as you become conformed to the image of Christ, the third thing is, follow me. He's more interested in what he has called you to do, to be, and to do, than all these things. Am I saying you cannot pray to God to help you in marriage? No, you can pray to God. And God will be delighted to help you in your marriage, to lead you to the right person, you know, like he did for me. God can do that for you. Yes. Yes. But you see, to tell you the truth, I was busy serving God. I was busy focused on God. I was all into him. All into him. I was all into God. I don't remember when I prayed concerning marriage. I'm telling you today, I never prayed concerning marriage. It was not on my prayer list at all. I was only serving God with all my heart, loving him to the best of my abilities, doing ministry, doing everything that I thought God had called me to do. Then, one day, I fell into a deep sleep. When I woke up, God said, Adam, behold your wife. Ephesians 4:7, I'm ending. So know your place. One of the purposes of God for you is the place that he has positioned you in the body. That one is on the heart of God. You see, those in heaven, they are not concerned about the lesser purpose of life. They are concerned about the higher purposes. If you have a relative who is in heaven right now, and God gives you grace to see them in dreams or visions, if they were born again, you will see that they are more interested, because now they are part of the great cloud of witness. And they are more interested in the spiritual points. When you buy a new car, they don't see. They don't care. If you lose your wife or your husband, and the one who is left remarries, the one who is in heaven doesn't care. He doesn't see. He doesn't care. But when you get filled with the Holy Spirit, he can see. When you respond to ministry, the court ministry, he can see. When you receive an impartation of the Spirit, he can see. And all these things, God has positioned them along your path. These are bigger purposes of God. Ephesians 4:7. Kenneth Hagin had a vision that he saw people who were dead, and he was conversing with them, you know, like not the people, relatives who were born again, who were in heaven. He went to heaven. Then he said he met his cousin, and the lady told him that those of us here, we don't concern ourselves with your material, financial, physical lives on earth. I mean, when you get promotion, heaven doesn't rejoice. There's no drama in heaven because, hey, he has gotten promotional. Let's saints, let's arise and let's give thanks to God. Our brother down there, he has gotten promotion. What is God does it? But when a sinner, Bible says, when one sinner repents, there is drama in heaven. The angels, they go for floats. And there's soliloquy in heaven. You see them jubilating because somebody got born again. That is higher purpose. But when you buy a new car, if God is happy for you, he wants you to get a new car. He wants you to get a nice house, a nice family. Those things are God's plan for you. They are lesser purposes. They are bonus. God will just give them to you. He will just give them to you. I mean, Psalm 128 is for all of you. 128. God says that, he said, blessed is the man who fears the Lord. He said, you will eat the fruit of your labor. Then he said, his wife shall be a fruitful vine beside his house, and his children, only plants run about his table. That is your portion. So these things, that's why he said, seek ye first the kingdom. That is a higher purpose. And all these things, I will take care of them. Now, because we have shifted focus, now we have made God out to be a wicked man. Because we have shifted focus, now we are concerned with lesser purpose. And we are always going to God, oh, I want this, I want that, oh, God. And we are anxious. And we say, ah, God, he doesn't do it quick. You know, let me consult this petition. Let me do this. God delays in answering us. No, because we have gotten it wrong. We must prioritize. He said, seek ye first the kingdom. When you see the higher purpose, he will take out lesser ones. Don't worry about who will marry me. Don't worry about will I get a job. Those things have already been taken care of. Ask yourself, what is God calling me to do? What is my place in the body? Once you take care of that, you will see these things coming. God will just do them. Ephesians 4:7. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gifts. So grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. You know, grace was given to you before the world began. And he designed you for a particular role in the body. In the body. That is your gift. You see, gift is different from manifestation. A gift of grace is what you were designed to be. Manifestation, everybody can have it. That's why he said, for the manifestation of the Spirit is given to everyone for the profit of all. In 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7. But in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 18, he said, for God has set in the body each one as it has pleased him. God is designing you to fit into a particular location, spot in the body. That is what should be of utmost concern to us. And all the training of God is to get you to a point where you know what you have been wired for in the body. What you have been shaped and designed for. All the giftings God will give you, the graces God will give you, the opportunities he will give you, they will all shape you, including sometimes the mistakes you make. They will all shape you. Do you know one of the things that God records in your book? Psalm 56 verse 8. It's amazing, but God records them in your book. 56 verse 8. That's why when you make a mistake, don't think that that's the end. Get up and follow on, pursue destiny. Psalm 56, verse 8. You number my wanderings, put my tears in your bottle. Are they not in your book? God wrote your tears in the book, put your tears in the bottle. All the tears, the prayers you are praying and you are crying, God wrote, put them in a bottle, and he wrote them in your book, your wanderings. Everything has been worked out in your book. That's why you didn't die in your sin. Yes. That's why you didn't die in your sin. Because you have been predestined. That is why when something happens to you along the way, don't allow the devil to push you further down. Get up and go. Sometimes it is a comma in your book. Some people, they get to certain issues of their life, it becomes a full stop. Bam. I'm not going again. Why? I failed. I met this person who did this to me. He betrayed me. Therefore, I've stopped serving God. You have put a full stop in your book. Some people get to exclamation marks in their book. Exclamation mark. Traumatic situations. Things that are like exclamation. Oh, ah, ish, ajay. All those things are exclamation marks in your book. If you don't take care, you will stop there and retire. There are people who were on the Christian journey, they encounter one problem or the other and they retire. So their books were not complete. Some of them died, their books are not complete. They have been called elected, but they didn't finish their work. If the devil brings, somebody said, if the devil brings a comma, he said, put a full stop, it becomes a semicolon. Semicolon means that now I'm going to give birth. So when you say semicolon, it means that I'm explaining. I'm giving you examples. So the grace, God has predetermined you to function in a particular way in the body. God's purpose and invitation, they are connected to your body, to the body of Christ. So if you abide in him, he has already positioned all the help you will need to become who he has destined you to be in the body. In fact, all the impartation you will need, and they come at strategic points of your life. Just this morning, I had an impartation in a dream. And God opened another chapter of ministry for me. Just this morning. I thought I was done with impartation. I received several of them. But just this morning, I had an impartation in a dream. You know, and you know, like I was telling Foster after the morning prayer, I said that you were in the spirit because that impartation was timed to February. That's what he told me. What I'm doing is connected to February 20th, my birthday. This morning, when I woke up, it was 1:59. 1:59 exactly. And it was an impartation because at this time, God had positioned that I should receive that impartation in the spirit so that I can step into another chapter of life and ministry. So if you abide in him, all these things, they have been positioned. There are people who have been stationed along your path, waiting to give you a word that will establish you, strengthen you. That's why sometimes we'll go for a meeting, you come back refreshed. So that you are beaten, you go to church, you come back strengthened. All those things have been designed by God for you to fulfill destiny. He said, follow me and I will make you fishes of men. So when you respond to the call, you are chosen. When you stay in it and then you are growing, you become faithful. It is the faithful who are going to be rewarded. Well done, good and faithful servant. Many are called, few are chosen, few become faithful. Somebody said, many are called, few are chosen because many are cold and few are frozen. So when you follow, when you get to the place where you are following, now you are following him. You see, God will bring you to a point where you will place his interest above your interest. When you begin to see that larger purposes of God, they are more important than lesser purposes, you are following. You are a follower. Following is a place of one thing, one thing. One thing you lack. Sell all you have. Give to the poor. Come and follow me. He told the man. He said, "One." The man came to him running. He said, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Then he said, sell all. He said, I've followed the law. I've done this. I've observed all the law from my youth. He said, good. Now I want to take you to a place of following. Sell all you have. Go and give to the poor. Come and follow me. Bible says the man was sorrowful because he had a lot of possession. Paul said, one thing I do to obtain the price of the upward call of God in Christ. He said, one thing I do. It's a place you get to where you are obsessed with one thing. It's Jesus Christ told Martha, he said, Martha, you are careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary has chosen the better part. One thing. It's only one thing that we need. Usually, the higher you go, the more narrow you become. Even in life, even in education. You see, somebody will start off, let's say, with SHS. You will do science, then you go to the university, let's say, you do medicine. Then you say, I'm going to specialize. So maybe you do pediatrics or microbiology or something. You do something. As you go higher, it's getting narrower and narrower. You will get to a point where now you are not a general, you are a major. You have majored on something. You see, now you are a specialist pediatrician. If you were a general, you would do many things. But now you are doing one thing. I've decided to take care of children. That's what it means. When you grow in the Lord, you will get to a point where you know that you can't do everything. You can't do everything. You will know what you have been called to do, what you can do. And you will do it well. Because you know that you are an eye, you are not a mouth. You know you are not a hand, you are a neck. It's one thing. So when you respond to the call, it will always end in the body. And that is a higher purpose of God. I pray that God will help us to seek first the kingdom. That is our destiny. But you see, the lesser purpose of God, those things, they are a given. That's why he said, seek ye first the higher purpose. And all these lesser purposes, they will be added. So, for God, what you have been called to do in the body is more important than which job am I supposed to do. God will say, no, that you have reversed the thing. Ask me your place in my body. Ask me why I brought you to this earth. How the path I've put you on to be conformed to the image. There are certain people God will put you on this path. As you go, you will pick certain things on the path. So that's where fulfillment comes. God is not against you. He's not against your life. It's for you. God is more passionate about the things you think about than you. And no matter how big you think, you cannot exhaust God's plan for you. Because it says he's able to do far above all that we ask or imagine. And the Bible says already that as far as the heavens are from the earth, so are the thoughts of God from our thoughts. So no matter how high you think, God thinks of something more beautiful and something bigger. Why? Is it to tell us this time? Something more beautiful and something bigger. When we're in secondary school, when we go to church and the preacher is delaying, they'll be dragging their feet. You see, shh, shh. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So in conclusion, I want you to understand that we should observe priorities. God has called you. And we respond to the call you are chosen, but be faithful. On the path of destiny, there are certain pitfalls that we can encounter. There are certain situations that we can encounter. God is a God of second chance, third chance, fourth chance, fifth chance, sixth chance, 1,000 chances. And it's all because he is committed to you finishing your assignment. So anytime you miss God, you come to God. Don't run away from God. Come back to God. Because he called you. He has already packaged you. When you came to this, maybe you missed God. You will waste some time, but it doesn't matter. Come. Don't run away. Just come to God. Because only God can fix you. Sometimes when we get problems, we go to men for men to fix us. But only the one who created you has genuine parts to fix you. Let's be on our feet. Let's pray. We are asking God for mercy and grace and favor on our path of destiny. That God should help us. We will fulfill destiny. We will live our full life out. We will live life as God planned it in heaven beforehand. We will live life as God determined. We'll find our place in the scheme of things. We'll find our purpose in the body. We'll find our place in Christ. We'll find our place. We'll be conformed to the image of Christ. We need mercy and grace. The same grace that was given to us before time began, that same grace will sustain us on the path of destiny. And that same grace will bring us to a place of glorification. For whom he foreknew, he predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. Moreover, whom he predestined, he called. Them that he called, he justified. And them that he justified, he also glorified. The end is glorious. We need grace. We need mercy. We need mercy. We need mercy. In the name of Jesus, we need mercy. We are praying. Oh God, open my eyes to see the doors you will open, the doors, the opportunities you will give me, the doors you will open for me to enter. Open my eyes, open my eyes. Give me wisdom on the path of my destiny. I will not miss my doors. I will not miss my doors. I will step into the right door at the right time. Korea talabaha salam. Libra talabaya lamakuta. Ika tolobo sitelehese. Mande krepetologosa. Mantalaya telebehese. Repoloko sataha. Mante kepaha. Lo selehetalaha. All things work together for good. To those who love God. To them who are the called according to purpose. The called according to purpose. The called. God has called you. According to purpose, your life is not a mistake. Whatever happens in your life, it's not by accident. Even the good and the bad, God will turn it for good. For you have been called according to purpose. You have been elected according to God's foreknowledge. God's foreknowledge, he chose you before the world began. In Christ, he predestined you to be conformed to the image of his son. Before the world began, he chose you. He designed you. He prepared you. He packaged you for something specific, something in particular. Tell God, thank God that he called you. Thank God that he called you. Once he called you, you fulfill destiny. It is by grace that you have been elected. You have been elected. That's why you responded to the call. That's why you responded to the call. And God has your life planned out. Everything is planned. Everything is planned. Everything is planned. Just focus on God. And you will live life according to plan. According to plan. Don't be in a hurry. Don't be anxious. Don't fret. Don't worry. Don't be anxious. Be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. Enter into rest. The works were finished from the foundation of the world. Enjoy rest. He said, come unto me, all you who labor, and I will give you rest. He said, take my yoke upon yourself and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, and then you will find rest for your soul. He said, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. His yoke is easy. His yoke is easy. God's purpose for your life is already planned out. It's easy. His burden is light. His yoke is easy. The reason why sometimes the yoke becomes heavy and difficult is because it is not his yoke. It is not his yoke. You may be carrying somebody's yoke or your own yoke. But he says, carry my yoke. Carry my yoke. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Korea Telebahasa. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. We will fulfill destiny. We will be fruitful in the name of Jesus. We will not miss our way in the name of Jesus. God will throw light on our path of destiny in the name of Jesus. We will not miss our way. We will live life according to how God planned it. In the name of Jesus, we will not be part of a wasted generation. You will not be part of a wasted generation. You will be part of the generation of the upright. The generation who seek God. The called, the chosen, and the faithful. We are praying this prayer. We are asking God, let me see things from heaven's perspective. You see, Jesus said,
Judas, he said, friend, he called him friend. We're asking God. Paul said, I take pleasure in my infirmities because he saw his trials as treasures. Let me see things from your perspective. Even sometimes when I don't understand, oh God, give me grace to see things, to see that everything has already been planned out. And I don't have any cause to worry. I don't have any cause to be alarmed. Because my life has been planned out by you. And I'm going to end exactly as you planned for me in eternity. Give me understanding. Let's pray. Oh, yeah, Talamaba. Eh, Maria Telebes. Kopa Hataya. Likataya Lebesi. Mantelebekesa. Monteleres. Imaya Teres. Ika Telebes. The Bible says, if God is for us, who can be against us? It doesn't matter what the devil plans for you. It doesn't matter what Satan thinks about you. If God is for you, even what Satan has planned, he will turn it to good. He takes the devil in his craftiness. Satan has been worked into God's plan. Satan thought he was killing Jesus. He didn't know that God had worked it into his plan. He thought after Jesus' death, the light of the world would be extinguished. He didn't know that the light was even shining brighter. He thought he could bury Jesus. He didn't know, except a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it abides alone. But if it dies, it brings forth much grain. He thought he was finishing Jesus. He didn't know that he was bringing many sons to glory. The Bible says, if the earthly rulers had known, they wouldn't have crucified the Lord of glory. If the devil knew, he wouldn't have brought that problem. If he knew that this thing is going to end in your favor, he wouldn't have brought that problem. But it's too late. Whatever he schemed for your life, God is turning it for good. He's turning it in your favor. 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 Whatever Satan planned, God is turning it. He takes the crafty in his craftiness. Cobre heteres. E Maria Telebas. E Catalabas. Nothing can put a believer down. Nothing can put us down. For we are the called. We are the called. Come hell or high water. We are the called according to purpose. He has called us according to purpose. God called us according to purpose. Nothing can change it. Nothing can put you down. Nothing can put you down. If the righteous fall 7 times, he will rise. He said, my enemies, do not be happy. When I fall 7 times, I will rise again. When I sit in darkness, the Lord will be my light. The Lord will be my light. What the enemy meant for evil, God will turn it for good. Holy Atalabahasa. In Narabatalama. Eko Torobosiha. Mantelebesi. Mantaliabosalaba. I refuse to worry. I refuse to worry. I refuse to be anxious. I refuse to be anxious. I refuse to be jealous. I refuse competition. My life is planned out. My life is planned out. I am on my path. I am on my path. For as long as I stay on my path, I will arrive. I will arrive. I will arrive. I will fulfill destiny. I will fulfill destiny. I will fulfill destiny. My life will be meaningful. God designed my life to be meaningful and purposeful. God designed my life to be a blessing. I've been called to bless. I've been called to solve a problem. God has graced me and gifted me to be a blessing to my generation. To my generation. I will show up before I show up. I will show up. I will show up before I leave this world. I will show up. I'll fulfill destiny. I fulfill destiny. I will be conformed to the image of his son. Kobre Hetalaba. Name Balia Terebis. Napaya Terebis. Ebalababa. I will not compare myself to anybody. My life is planned out. I am unique. I am unique. The Bible says, even the hairs on my head, they are counted. Nobody has my thumbprint. There's a unique place for me. A unique place for me. A unique assignment for me. A unique platform for me. There's somebody special for me. Oh, yes. Jesus told them, he said, go to the next village. You will see a donkey tied to a tree on whom no man has ever sat. No man had ever sat on a donkey. In that busy town, there was a donkey nobody has sat on. There was a donkey nobody has sat on. In that busy town, in this busy world, there's a place that is for you. Nobody can take it. There's somebody for you. There's a place for you. There's a platform for you. Nobody can take it. The works have been finished. You have been ordained to work in good works. To work in good works. Prepared beforehand. Prepared beforehand. God's plan for your life has a code. Your name is written on the code. It has been encoded with your details. Nobody can open it. Nobody can open it. Nobody can break the seals. Only you can break the seals. Thank you, Lord. Oh, yes, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. There is room for you. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. There is enough room. There's room for you. Jesus said, you will see a donkey on whom no man has ever sat. A donkey that nobody has sat on. Which means that even the one who brought the donkey out to tie him to the tree didn't sit on it. He only worked for Jesus. There's somebody who is working for you. I mean, things are working in your favor. Things are working in your favor. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. God says, Rehoboth, he will make a room for you. He said, the Lord will make room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land. We shall be fruitful. There's a place for you. There's a place for you. There's a donkey for you. No man has ever sat on it. Nobody has sat on it. It is yours. Your name is written on it. Jesus said, untie him and bring him to me. I must sit on it. We are praying this last prayer. We are praying for Ghana. We are praying that, oh God, you have something unique for this nation. A lot of prophecies have gone on for Ghana, on Ghana. That Ghana is God's jewel. That God is going to release prosperity in the nation. We are praying that, God, let these words come to pass. Let every word that has been spoken upon this nation, let it see the light of day. Let's pray. In the name of Jesus, Ghana will not die. Ghana will live. In the name of Jesus, Ghana will live. The plan and purpose of God for Ghana will stand. Ghana is my jewel, says the Lord. God will pour prosperity over this nation. God will pour prosperity over this nation. In the name of Jesus, Ghana will flourish. Ghana will flourish. Ghana will flourish. In the name of Jesus, Ghana will fulfill purpose. Ghana will fulfill destiny. In the name of Jesus. We pray for our president. We pray for wisdom. We pray for health. We pray for protection. Preservation. We pray for vice president. We thank God for healing. We pray for ministers. We pray the evil ones out. All those with evil mind, we pray them out. All those with confused mind, we pray them out. In the name of Jesus, any good plan that this government has for this country, let those good plans come to pass. Let those good plans see light of day. Any evil plans that will come in their minds, let those evil plans perish in their heads. In the name of Jesus, any evil agenda that will come into their heads, let that agenda be arrested and negated. Let them speak with new tongue. In the name of Jesus, Ghana will flourish. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I want us to pray this very last prayer, very important. We are praying for the older generation of fathers, you know, in the ministry. The generation of people like Archbishop, and we know the fathers of the land in Ghana here. We are praying for them, that generation. You know, the giant that killed, that was to kill Israel, it was David who killed that giant. But the giant that was to kill David, it was one of his sons who killed the giant. In 2 Kings, that giant was about to kill David, but one of his sons killed him. So we can pray up for our fathers. We are bringing them before God. Say, oh God, renew them, refresh them, protect them, protect them. Keep them alive, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Koria talaba. Lima taya nebre koshata. Lantale bahasu. Bretele behesha. Lantele krotolosaha. Rika tata. Mandi bretetes. Lo siriante dehata. Bande bretetete. We pray, oh God, for people in ministry, in the kingdom, in the church, who are fathers, who have raised people. Oh God, sustain them. Protect them, oh God. Protect them in the name of Jesus. Even in their vulnerable moments, raise intercessors. Provoke intercession. Protect them, oh God. In Jesus' name, protect them in the name of Jesus. Cooperate this. Mantele this. Mantele balabasa. Goliale this. Ingare baliana. Malere betolobosianaba. Le kolobosianabahata. May God protect our fathers. May God protect the Zebedees who are in our boats. Zebedees in our boats, who give us counsel, who give us light and hope, who give us inspiration and encouragement. May God protect them. Let God keep them alive for our sake, for our sake and our children's sake. Let God keep them alive for the sake of the church, in the name of Jesus. Holy Atelebekosala. Mantere bekosa, retetes batalaban, molia telebikosia, mantere bekosata. Father, we thank you. We give you praise. Indeed, you are God. For you declared the end from the beginning. You planned out our lives, even when we were not aware. Even when we're not aware of your existence, we're running away from you. We were found in places that were weird and awkward. You still had us in mind, oh God. For you had elected us according to foreknowledge and according to purpose. We give you praise, oh God, for bestowing on us this grace. We pray, oh God, that you help us to be faithful. Help us to stay on the path of destiny. Help us to desire to grow, to conform to the image of your Son. Help us, oh God, to stay on this path and desire to grow and desire to grow up into the head. Help us to find our place in the body. We give you praise. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. You may take your seats.